Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute, and we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, Streaming Plus license, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mack Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church.
Luke chapter 18 and verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Would you stretch your hands this way and pray for me today? My Father God, I come before your throne. I seek your touch in my mind, my heart, and my body. I need your help today, dear God, to bring forth this word that I know you gave to me. I need your anointing today, dear God. I need the unction of the Holy Ghost to move upon me today and allow me, dear Lord, to be your vessel. Allow me to bring forth this word today in a way that would magnify and uplift your name and glorify you, dear Lord. And in the ears and sight of all these under the sound of my voice and watching by live stream and on the internet and by radio, Father, we ask your touch to be upon each and every one of us, that the word go forth in a way that would be nourishment to their souls. In Jesus' name we thank you and pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and a Pharisee, I don't know if you know it or not, a Pharisee was one of the high holy men. He was high and he was holy. He sat upon his high horse and he was exalted in the temple. And everyone knew that he was a man of God. He was a Pharisee. I've seen so many who fall into this category over the years. I once pastored a whole church full of them. And I've seen them throughout the decades. passing judgment on every other person while sitting upon their high horse, beating people senseless with their Phineas Dake Bible, thinking they were the only ones going to heaven and smiling because you know they're going to go to hell for that. I was in a gas station one day. I got my gas and I went in to get my candy bar and my drink. Y'all do it too. Don't laugh at me. And I was in there, and there was a lady behind the cash register, and on the other side was two other ladies, and they obviously knew each other because they were standing there talking, and they was talking about this other woman, and they was running her in the ground, talking about how bad she was, how sinful she was, and how wicked she was. And one of them said, she's going to go to hell and burn. And she smiled. And I stood there and I looked at them, and they all three smiled, and I thought, my goodness. Who is their pastor? My goodness, how can anybody that calls themselves a child of God smile because somebody they don't like is going to go to hell? That is a spirit of Phariseeism, saints of God. And that's the kind of spirit we saw in this passage that the Lord gave us today. The Pharisee said, Lord, I thank you I ain't like this guy. I'm not an extortioner, which publicans would use generally extortioners. I'm not a liar. Publicans were usually liars. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not this. I'm not that. And Lord, I pray all the time. I fast a few times a week. And you know, you're not supposed to be telling people you fast.
That's right.
And Lord, I give tithes of all that I possess. You ain't supposed to be talking about that neither. And those kinds of people, they can't see the forest for the trees.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying by that?
That's right.
Let me see if I can break it down. They can't see the message of the words of the Bible because of the size of the book.
Come on. That's right.
Tell me something now. This Pharisee went into the temple, went to the altar and began bragging on himself, thinking the whole time that he was praying. But he won't do nothing but bragging on himself and running his brother in the ground. He said, oh Lord, you've seen my good works. I've done you a favor or two. Wait a minute now. Act like people don't feel like that. Well, God, I got up this morning and I went to church. What you gonna give me for it? I got up this morning. I even made it to Sunday school.
Hallelujah.
Where am I blessing for that? I done you a favor. Well, we're talking about two different people that went to the altar in this particular parable that the Lord gave us. Jesus was speaking here. We're going to talk about the publican. It was a much different story with the publican. Now, publicans were considered scum of the earth. Did y'all know that? You know why? Because they was tax collectors. They were crooked. They cheated the general public. They kept the profit above what the taxes were that they really owed. You know, kind of like Congress. So publicans were considered the lowest of the low. Kind of like Congress. Even below the shepherds, I think. But this publican, he obviously had a different thing going on. Because he was kneeling before the altar and he got away from the big high holy man. He probably felt like he wasn't worthy. And he got over to himself and he was kneeling there, and when the Pharisee looked over at him, he was sitting there going, pounding his chest. You know what the significance is of pounding your chest like that? Have you ever read in the Bible where it says he rent his garment? In the New Old Testament and in the New Testament, when somebody ripped their garment, renting their garment was ripping it. That was a sign that they were agonizing. They were in misery. They were in sorrow. and had the same meeting as going. And that publican, he was beating his chest. And it was almost like he was challenging his own heart to be better. Beating his own heart for being deceitful and wicked. Pastor, what are you talking about? Jeremiah 7:19 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What do you mean, Pastor? Don't tell me, don't sit there and tell me that you ain't had times that you've had things come out of your heart, and after it come out of your heart and come out of your mouth, you thought, I ain't real proud of that. Come on now. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
This was a sure sign. Here's what he said. He said, actually Matthew 15:18-19 says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. All those times when you committed a sin, where did it start out? In your own heart. Pastor, you gonna get off my feet now? As soon as I can move off of my own. This was a sure sign. Him beating his chest, trying to bring his chest in to straighten it out. This was a sure sign of his own humility and of his devotion to the Lord. Now, as I sat down to prepare the message yesterday, I've said it over and over again. I got 25, 30 messages in the computer that I've been working on. And I sat down to pray over which one of them I was going to use today. And as I began to pray, it was almost like the Lord's instant thought. The instant I thought about looking through the computer at these messages, I felt the Spirit of the Lord move upon my heart, and it was almost like, don't bother. You ain't going to use none of them. And I said, well, all right. My next step is to pray and ask God what I am supposed to preach on. And the first words out of my mouth to the Lord were, dear Lord, have mercy on me. I'm not worthy. And boy, when I said that, it was like lightning struck them words in my heart. And the scripture text for this morning immediately came to my mind, Luke 18:13. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It just... Folks, it resonated in my heart and in my soul, and I knew, well, I got that. That's where I'm preaching today, tomorrow. And I began to visualize all my failures before the Lord. And I began to repent. What? Pastor? You had to repent? Yeah, I began to repent. Because I knew. If I don't look at me any high holy horse now, I knew that I could be a so much better Christian than I am. Yep. And I began to repent. Since I got out of the hospital this last time, my entire mindset has changed. I used to walk in a different mindset now, saints. I did. Not that I was haughty or thinking too much of myself or more of myself than I should. But I guess it's because of the power of God that I have walked in the past and the anointing that I've seen in years past. Sister Lillian was there at one of the revivals I've talked about at the Cornerstone Church. That revival started out as a Sunday night youth and children's service. And the Holy Ghost exploded in that youth and children's service. It went on for 3 hours that night. And the pastor said, you coming back tomorrow night, we're going to keep this going. And that revival went on, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks. And during those services, there was a 9-year-old girl in the hospital on life support. And the doctors didn't know what was wrong with her. And the grandparents were there in the revival. And the revival exploded among the children. Those children was laying hands on folks and seeing them slain in the spirit. Those children were praying for folks and seeing them healed of cancer. Those children were praying for folks and watching miracles unfold right in front of them. And come on now. And they and one of them mentioned that 9-year-old granddaughter in the hospital on life support. And I called the children up front. And I said, "Do y'all believe that God can heal that little girl?" And they said, "Yes." And I looked at the congregation and I said, "Now we're getting ready to pray. I want somebody to check your watch." It was 5 minutes after 9 that night. I said, "I want you to check your watch, because there's going to be something happening at 9:05 tonight." And we began to pray for that little girl, and it wasn't no big explosion. It wasn't no, won't nobody running the aisles and running on the backs of the pews, none of that. But it was a powerful time of prayer with those children. The next night when we got to the church, me and the young people, there was a testimony that went on. And they stood up and they said, "Pastor, last night at 9:05, our granddaughter just woke up."
Hallelujah.
She'd been in the hospital for several weeks on life support. They didn't know what was wrong with her, and she just woke up. And it's better than that. She was feeling so much better, she got up out of the bed. Now, I've been in the bed of a hospital for a week when I was 5 years old. And when I got up, it took me a week to learn how to walk again. My legs were atrophied. That little girl got out of bed and was running around the room. Because the next day, that little girl was at home. The doctors didn't know what was wrong. They didn't know what had been wrong, but they did know that she was all right now. Because of the healing. That's the kind of anointing I'm talking about walking in that I have seen going on. Hallelujah. My confidence was really high. And I really don't see that as a bad thing. But maybe I let it stop me from seeking to go higher. I don't know for sure. But now, since I got out of the hospital, I see the Lord so much higher. Lifted up, and my place is so much less than before. Not that I've lost confidence, because I have not. I know what the Lord can do. But I have lost, I don't really know any other way to say it except for haughtiness about that anointing I used to walk in that way. Now, we've seen that. We've seen the miracle working power of God in here. Time and time and time and time again. I guess that's what I feel like. I'm so much closer to seeing him now than I was before. And I'm looking around at all the people in this church who are anointed. What is it the Lord has been telling me to tell you for the past few months? To proclaim your anointing. And Sister Barbara's walking in it, and look at how it's exploding. Hallelujah. And people are going out and witnessing and testifying to their friends, and we're seeing people starting to come to church. We're seeing the power of God move. We're seeing miracles happen. I'm looking around at all the people who are anointed and about to walk in that anointing. But I kept seeing that publican at the altar. Even after that Pharisee had just stood there next to him, bragging to God about how godly he was and how low and useless this publican was, and he himself was next to the Pharisee, and the publican standing afar off would not so much as lift his own eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, "Oh Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." I kept seeing that man. Amazing. Can you just imagine that publican's heart? Can you feel the heartbreak that he might have felt? Knowing that even though he loved God, he had obviously failed him in his own mind. And I don't think he was standing there begging to get into heaven because of his sin. I don't think that's what his prayer was about. I feel like he was bowing in his heart before a holy God. You ever done that? You ever been there? Humbling himself in the sight of the Lord, realizing just how high the Lord is and just how low he was. There's that old hymn we sang this morning, at the cross, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote the sacred head for such a worm as I? Now, first time I ever saw that scripture, saw that hymn and the lyrics, I was caught off guard because it took me a bit to realize what the writer was trying to say. He was actually trying to humble himself in the sight of the Lord. I mean, I know there's still people in churches with the spirit of the Pharisees. Come on now. Thinking they're so high and mighty, so pious and holy, and no one else is going to heaven but them. But I also know that there are more than anyone else, because if Paul the Apostle sinned every day to the point that he had to crucify the old man every day, then who do they think they are? Are they greater than Paul? Their attitude about their high holiness alone is sinful. Just believing how pure and righteous they are above everybody else is sinful. Thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to. The Bible talks about that. Well, I'll tell you what Jesus thought of them. He thought they were sinful and wicked and needed to be more like that publican in the altar. This is what he said about the publican. He said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Who do we think we are? We need to think less about who we are and think more about who he is. Come on, somebody. We need to forget about how high and holy we might be and realize that there is a holy God. Without him, we wouldn't attain to anything like that. Glory to God, glory to God. It's a mighty and a holy God that we serve. Thank you, Jesus. I find myself I don't want to say that I'm humbling myself. I don't want to say that. I guess what I want to say is I find myself to the point that the Lord is humbling me. I find myself that the Lord is saying, hey, pastor, bishop, man of God, look at your life. Look at yourself. See this thing right here? See this thing right here? See this other thing over here? Should you really be thinking that high of yourself? Because really, saints of God, anybody that thinks that if I were to think that all the miracles and healings and absolutely unbelievable things that I have seen in my ministry over the past 41 years was according to me, somebody needs to hit me in the head with a frying pan. Because I ain't got nothing to do with it. All I am is somebody he chose to use. And I told him, when he first called me and I knew he was calling me, I said, you got the wrong guy. Because I don't know how to do that. I couldn't stand behind a pulpit and preach to save my life. I don't know nothing about the Bible. Then he took me on a nice long journey in a vision. This vision lasted about 3 hours. I was walking in a vision. And I've told y'all about it before. And at the end of the vision, I was kneeling down at the foot of the cross on the front of the tabernacle back in 1985. I had watched Jesus be crucified on that cross in this vision. And then I watched him be taken down and put in a tomb. And then I watched him come up out of that tomb and walk out alive. And God spoke to my heart and he said, preach that. Can't preach nothing else. You preach that. Saints of God, you got to be at least seeing some of the news They've said again this week they are going to move forward with sacrificing that red heifer on April 22nd at the Passover. The priest to do it has already been selected. He's already been trained in how the Old Testament taught them that they had to do it. Because they ain't done it in over 1,000 years. I don't nobody know except they had to read it out of the scripture. And the sacrifice of that red heifer is incredibly significant to the time of the rapture. That sacrifice of that red heifer happens on the Passover right before the rapture happens. Sacrifice of the red heifer means that they're going to cleanse the temple. And after that, after the sacrifice of the red heifer, we have no idea how long we have. Now, I talked about, a couple weeks ago, I talked about the solar eclipse, and I can't imagine how many people thought that I was saying that the solar eclipse meant that the rapture was going to happen during the solar eclipse, but I didn't say that or imply it one time. I just said that that was one of the signs that was supposed to happen. Like the moon turning red because of the red hematite rust that's growing on the moon now. The moon's turning red. Scientists are talking about it. The moon turned to blood. The sacrifice of the red heifer. There's more things. And now this war in Israel. We need to pray for Israel today. Because they took a massive, massive attack yesterday. 220 rockets fired into Israel yesterday. People are getting killed. We're going to pray in the altar, and when we get done praying in the altar, we're going to pray for Israel. Hallelujah. But today I wonder, Lord, I don't know. Okay. I'm not going to make a plea to you. The Lord told me for me to repent and to leave the rest up to you to make your own decisions.
We never end a service without this right here. So if everybody would raise their hand, this is the easiest way to share the faith and to share salvation with someone you know. It's also the easiest way to find yourself back in God's grace if you feel like you've walked out from under it. So if you'll repeat after me, Dear Lord, I'm a sinner.
Dear Lord, I'm a sinner.
Jesus, I know you're the Son of God.
Jesus, I know you're the Son of God.
I know you died on the cross for my sins. But you rose again on the third day.
Come into my heart and forgive me,
Jesus.
Make me a new Christian.
And the children have affectionately added, Punch the devil in the face.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, a Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kids Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night, Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m., and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m., or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.